Every child's got a future. And regardless of the reading speed or the reading ability of or the ability to put meaning to language, there's a future for every child.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast.
Welcome to another Parent and Baby Brunch podcast. Today we're talking about something that I'm truly passionate about. We're talking about dyslexia, how to spot it, how it is diagnosed, and also how to support our children best through it. A big thanks to our support.
Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages.
Dyslexia and how it is diagnosed, and also what to do when you get the news, is one of the things that can sometimes be heartbreaking. We found one of the best experts, and you come highly recommended, a remedial therapist, and her name is Elisna Prinsloo. Thanks for joining us on Baby Brunch.
Welcome.
Let's first start with the simple question. What exactly is it?
Dyslexia is a neurological disorder where the person who's got dyslexia can't decode words and then, you know what, put them together into a word again. So it's a visual auditory problem where that's the sound that the ear hears and this, what they see on paper, they do not connect and decode them.
So could we say that there's highs and lows of it? I mean, if you talk dyslexia, does it look different or vary in frequency?
It definitely varies in frequency. Some people's got this severe dyslexia, others will have it a bit on the milder side. Some of them will have only a small bit of it that you can hardly pick it up. But it's not only a reading disorder. You know, you can, some people battle to read, but others battle to do some spelling with it. And then others battle to understand what they are reading. So there's different ways of looking at it. And people aren't sure. Nowadays, they tend to classify it into different areas and give it different kinds of names. But usually, yeah, it depends from person to person.
Even when you are explaining it to me, it's like I'm not hearing you. Because as a parent, when you hear dyslexia, what should I understand immediately?
My child can't decode words and put meaning to it.
Okay. Why do I feel so sad when I hear it, though?
Because everything is, you know, revolves around language. Mm. If you can't read, people think you are not that well educated. You've got a problem. You do not have a future. Mm. There's all kinds of things connected to it, and it's really not necessary.
If I have dyslexia, or if my child has dyslexia, does that mean that they'll never be able to read?
No, most kids learn to read, some of them a bit later in life, but eventually most kids learn to read, and that's why we have different systems and ways to teach them how to read. But for some of them, it will be harder than for others.
As a remedial therapist, I mean, what do you normally explain to our parents? Where does dyslexia come from?
Well, dyslexia is mainly a genetic disorder. It tends to run in families, but then you also get the odd one here and there where there's a major, you know, it's brain damage or something which prevents a child from reading, but it's mostly genetic.
If it runs in the family, is it my fault?
No, it's not your fault. Because you can't, you know, it, you've been born like that. There's no such thing as a fault. Everyone has got a little, you know, what, glitch here and there.
And we know how to manage our glitches.
And we know how to manage it.
How common is dyslexia? And I say this because the other day we had a chat with one of our psychiatrists and we talked about ADHD and we talked about words and diagnoses and disorders that are used as buzzwords. You know, if someone feels that they are a little bit different, they'll say, you know, I've got ADD. And it's almost become, I don't know, commentary or fun for people to use. So how common is it really?
Well, it depends from country to country, from one nation to another. But overall, they say about 15 to 20% of the population's got some or other form of dyslexia, which is quite a lot.
In our schools and especially at home, what does dyslexia look like?
Well, there's different ways of looking at it and there's different ways it presents itself. Okay. First of all, the child usually from school going age, they tend to battle to read, or they will skip words, reverse words, can't put meaning to words. That's the main thing that you get.
What about writing?
Writing, yes. Some of them tend to make spelling mistakes. Spelling mistakes is it depends on the kind of dyslexia again. Some people can't read, some people can't spell, some people can't do both of them. It depends from one person to another, as I've said.
When looking at dyslexia, what are we looking at?
When looking at dyslexia, we usually see that the child tends not to know the phonics. They can't put them together. They can't hear rhyming words. And, you know, again, the auditory, they can't hear what they can see. And then they can't put it together. And then you also have something like we call it nonsense words. I always call it Martian language. Then the children understand it much better. Where you take different phonics and you put it together into a mix of words, small words that they have to decode and read. And usually they can't do that.
So you scramble the letters and they have to make a word.
They have to make a word. Yeah, they have to make a word. Say, for instance, where you have WHSP, the word, they must be able to say it's the word WISP. Instead of, you know, but then they tend not to be able to do that. That's the way it is. They can't put the phonological with the visual.
In the early stages of dyslexia, what do I look for as a parent?
Well, they tend to learn to speak a bit later than other kids. They battle to do rhyming, you know, pick up on rhyming words. Battle to understand what the parent is saying. You know, the phonological awareness isn't there. They can't memorize rhymes. It's a major problem.
From what age onwards should we seek help? I mean, if you see that a child can't rhyme or that they're perhaps not hearing you, I mean, here on Parents and Baby Brunch, we've had auditory consultations. We bring in the dentist. How at this stage do I know that it's time to see a remedial therapist?
Well, very early in life, say for instance at the age of 4 or 5, it's very hard to see whether it's real dyslexia or not. So at that point in time, usually when I speak to people, I go through the whole spectrum and see, listen, did this child go to a speech therapist, an occupational therapist? Is there memory problems? Is there attention deficit disorder? That kind of things. We always look into that. We start by using the speech therapist and the occupational therapist. The occupational therapist is supposed to see whether there's some visual perceptual problems with the child, and then the speech therapist needs to start picking up on language and, you know, with phonological processing and see whether the child can really hear the phonics or not. Usually before that, I prefer to do a hearing test as well, and a visual scanning for the child to see whether this child can really see. We often forget, you know, we look at all of these problems in kids, but then we do not start at the basics. And the basics is at the body. And then from there, you work towards a problem, if there's another problem that you're spotting by doing those therapies.
It's so wonderful that you say that no problem or issue is in isolation. Yeah. So if we look at dyslexia, I mean, how many experts are we looking at? So far we've talked about the audiologist, then there's the speech therapist.
Yeah, there's the audiologist, the speech therapist that you can look at. Then if you pick up that there's some concentration problems, you go to the neuropsychiatrist or a normal psychiatrist. It must be someone who knows what they are doing with regards to kids. Then you get also different programs for dyslexia. We get different forms of training, which they do overseas, and some of it here in South Africa, where you can go to those different people and work with, you know, with more of a sensory approach by teaching those children. And then if there's other, let's call it comorbid disorders that's going with it, then you have to include the dietitian as well. It's always a holistic approach. And then, of course, the school also needs to be on the page of everything that's happening, and especially the teacher. The teacher needs to get some guidance on what she's doing and how she's treating all of these.
So dyslexia is, it's everyone's work.
It's everyone's work. It's a community process. Even though it's a, let's call it a medical model of diagnosing, it still becomes from the medical, it runs out into a social concept, which means everyone is involved and everyone needs to take care of what's going on.
To all of our parents who are looking for early signs and that are wondering, you know, when is it time for a parent to ask for help?
You know, I think late pre-primary school, around about the age of 5, we can start picking up on most of those, because some children, the language develops a bit later on, especially nowadays. It's interesting, you know, when my child was small, they said, take him to nursery school. And I said, yes, who's going to teach him how to speak? Because all of them are weak and they do not learn to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that is where language problems often start with us not speaking enough, not reading to them enough, etc.
It's interesting you mention that now, because often I find that perhaps in the household, English is not the first language. The child is in a school where English is the predominant language. Is that dyslexia? Is it we need to read more to our children? Or is it a language barrier?
No, it can be a language barrier, especially if children are taught in the second language. But unfortunately, with children with dyslexia, you get that they tend to pick up, they do not pick up the second language that easily. They might be speaking English at home and then battle to read English. And then when it comes to Afrikaans, second language, especially in our high schools nowadays, then it becomes a major problem, because it's not the language of instruction. It's not the language they speak at home. It's a major problem. That's what it is. Mother tongue instruction is always better. Always, always, always. I can't reiterate it too much.
So shouldn't we be reading more to our children? I mean, they're watching television or screens and they're learning these accents, you know. And
you know what? Reading to children is definitely, it's something that we need to do more. We need to start very early in life for their language to be able to develop. But reading to them more is not going to rule out the fact that someone's got dyslexia or not. I mean, I have to reiterate, it's something in the brain. The brain can't decode what the ear is hearing and what the eye is seeing. And so reading, yes, develops language, but it's not going to make dyslexia disappear at all.
This is an actual question that we got. I mean, does dyslexia mean that there could be something wrong with our child's eyesight?
No. Dyslexia doesn't mean that there's something wrong with the eyesight. Sometimes people tend to use that in visuals, etc., and they say that the letters are swimming, whatever. No, it's not eyesight connected. It means it's auditory, visual connected. So when a child can see properly and they can't read according to what they hear, you know, there's an auditory visual connection, then it's a form of dyslexia. But we often pick up that children nowadays have lots of problems with their eyes due to being on screens too much, not being able to do word searches, which is a visual perceptual problem that needs to be picked up by an OT, weak muscles in the eyes due to too much screen time. So yeah, there may be children with dyslexia who's got eye problems, but it's not the main reason for it.
Let's go through the steps. So I see that there's potentially something different in Johnny's life. He's in pre-primary and we come and see a remedial therapist. What happens next?
Well, first of all, I have a consultation with the parent and we go into, you know, the history of the child. Sometimes there's already some people involved in therapy, and then I take those reports and I analyze everything. And then from there, I start referring them. If I see that, say, for instance, they've done everything up to now, speech therapist, occupational therapist, maybe an educational psychologist or a neurologist, whoever has been involved in the process, then I will start assessing myself and go in and see. We do a diagnostic assessment, which means that you're going to see whether the child knows his phonics, whether the child knows sight words, whether they can read in paragraphs, whether they can put meaning to text, and whether they can do, as I've called it, the Martian language, the word attack skills. And then from there, we decide, listen, this is how we are going to approach it. Sometimes we get a report from an educational psychologist or a psychiatrist, which will tell us, listen, we think there's some form of dyslexia. And then we treat it as if there's dyslexia. In any case, any child learns better when they are working with more than one of their senses. So why not use the approach for everyone?
When we talk to a parent and we take this diagnosis home, what should every parent know?
Every parent should know that this is not, let's call it a death sentence. Okay. Every child's got a future. And regardless of the reading speed or the reading ability or the ability to put meaning to language, there's a future for every child.
Should dyslexia rule our households?
No, it shouldn't rule your households. There's going to be some difficulties. I mean, these children get frustrated, they get anxious, it takes them longer to learn. Mum and dad will have to provide some help. There's financial, you know, responsibilities with all of the therapies that they need to take part in. But it shouldn't rule the house. It's not as if you can't go and attend an outing or have some family time or something like that. It's not, yeah.
Any result to a parent is overwhelming. I mean, you learn that your child has dyslexia. How do we make our children feel comfortable with this diagnosis? How should we tell it to them, and how can we better handle it with the language that we use?
You know, Ilana, there's different ways of approaching it, and I feel it always depends on the age of the child. Some people feel that you have to put a name to it, and I think for primary school children from the age of 10, that's easier for them if they know, listen, this, I've got dyslexia, and this is what we call it, and this is the reason why I have that. For the little one, is you need to take a bit more care of them. You know what? They do not really understand what it's about. You just tell them they are battling a bit with reading. And it's not something that they did wrong. It's something that they've inherited. And now we need to work on it. You always give them hope. And you always praise them for each and everything that they've achieved. And so that they can know the, you know, that's not their mistake.
How often should we attend assessments? We know now that dyslexia is present. How often do we come back?
You know what? When you start working with the child, actually, you're assessing during every session. It's not a formal assessment, but you see the progress which a child is making or which a child is not making.
Is there any way that a parent can prepare emotionally for the assessment before they come and see a remedial therapist? What do we tell our child? Where are we going?
I usually tell the parents, you know what? Just tell them they're coming to see a lady who's going to see why they are battling with reading. Okay. And why they are doing certain things. It's not something where you get scores or where that you can fail or anything like that. We're just going to play with letters and numbers and see what they are capable of doing.
What should we not say to a child with dyslexia?
Don't ever let them feel as if they are a failure, because they aren't.
Beyond reading and writing, are there any other areas that will be affected by dyslexia?
Mathematics, definitely. When it comes to, you know what, reading story sums, reading instructions. And for those kids who battle to understand what the teacher is saying, it definitely also becomes a problem. Because they just simply do not follow the instructions. And then emotionally, it becomes a major problem. Because these kids they feel inferior to others. They do not want to read in front of a class. Teachers often do not know how to handle it. Their peers start belittling them or making jokes about it. So it's a tough life for a child emotionally wise, it's a tough life.
How can we support our teachers with dyslexia? How can we support our teachers when we know that there's a diagnosis of dyslexia and we suspect that our teachers do not know how to handle?
We need to make teachers aware of it. We need to teach teachers how to spot dyslexia, to see what exactly what's happening with this child. They tend sometimes, the children with dyslexia will get B and D reversals. Then the teacher will say, okay, but this is dyslexia. Then it's not always dyslexia. It can be a laterality problem. It can be an eye problem. It can be many things. So our teachers need to be made aware of what dyslexia actually is and how do I need to address a child who's battling with dyslexia. How do I need to be softer on that child? The curriculum that we currently have is very rushed. It's not the right thing for a child with dyslexia because they get over anxious. How do I need to space the letters? With the different sentences in a text. And there's many things that we need to teach our teachers nowadays.
They can call you. You could go into the classroom and be present and make the diagnosis.
Yes, I won't go in and make the diagnosis, but I will go in and see. Let's say, listen, it seems that there's a problem with it. Try and address it like this. Let's see what happens. And then if you see it's not working within the next week, give me a shout. Then we can do a diagnostic assessment and see what we can do with regards to this specific problem. See whether it's dyslexia, whether it's something else, whether it's emotional. There can be an emotional block because the child has been belittled so many times or the child thinks they can't read, that there's definitely an emotional block for it.
But as a remedial therapist, you can support teachers better to help our children?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. There need to be more of us in schools. There need to be more of us doing training. There are courses available in South Africa and all over the globe, which is very intense and it's very expensive. But there's some short courses available, or just, you know what, get us in there. Let us teach you. You can do it for free. We can do it at a minimal fee, but we can teach you what it's all about.
So are you up for a challenge?
Yes, I am.
We've never had any expert in our Baby Brunch studio do quick fire on any topic. Usually we leave this for the celebrities, okay? So are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's see what we can do.
It's true or false, or it's even yes or no.
Okay, let's see.
Children with dyslexia are better with musical instruments.
No.
I'm not going to ask
it. It depends on. That's why I'm saying no.
Okay.
Because if there's a visual perceptual problem and the child can't read the notes,
okay,
then it's a problem. But if they speak, if they play auditory and they are very right way brain minded and they do not need to read from the side, from the scores, then it depends. So music is a difficult one.
Dyslexia is formed in the left or right brain?
Right brain.
Why?
So, well, it's a more of a visual process. The left brain is supposed to do the, the decoding for reading. And the right brain is the one that's the picture brain, who sees everything as a whole. And that's where it forms, because the left brain is less developed than the right brain and it can't decode that much.
There's nothing wrong with my child. These people just want to make money.
No, not really. There's nothing wrong with the child, but there's a bit of a disorder that needs to be addressed to make life easier for the child.
Children with dyslexia are bullies?
No, they aren't. You know what? It doesn't mean that when you've got a learning disability or a neurological disorder that you're going to belittle someone or bully someone. But sometimes if they get bullied, they might tend to start bullying other children.
Our school systems are not equipped for dyslexia in South Africa.
Definitely. Our school systems aren't equipped for that. The classes are too big. The teachers aren't trained. Specialized training. We do not have people helping them. Not trained assistants. I can go into that a lot.
How can we fix that?
Sure, there's many things. You don't want me to go into the educational system, but definitely smaller classes, better language instruction, better decoding instruction, taking it at a slower pace, especially from grade R onwards, allowing these children to work with sensory, you know, with stimuli, working with little letters by building words. Everything doesn't need to be about writing.
But if you want that, this is not the school for your child.
Yeah, it's unfortunately something that happened in our system, in our school system. And I think there's nowhere in South Africa which are really going to get a school that will be able to fully address it. Maybe some of your private schools who are specializing in it, but all over the no, most of the time you won't get it in South Africa, unfortunately.
But that's why we have our experts like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's the one thing you wish every parent should know with a child that has dyslexia?
You know what? It doesn't mean the child is a failure. There's always hope because we all have different talents. Focus on the stronger points, not the weaker points. There's a reason why you have the disorder, and there's a reason why you have to use your other talents in life to become an expert at those gifts that you got.
Elizna, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for coming to Parent and Baby Brunch to help so many people with so many questions and supporting so many parents here on Parent and Baby Brunch.
You're welcome, Ilona.
Elizna is currently working in a private remedial therapy practice in Centurion in Gauteng, where she's helping many children from the ages 5 to grade 12. She focuses on learning disabilities, and she really regards reading and spelling both in Afrikaans and English, and even maths that she can help children in that they find really difficult. You can find her extensive biography and her details on our website. Visit babybrunch.co.za for this podcast and many others.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. A quick thanks to our support. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.